welcome to It's All Chaos, a podcast about two best friends who are navigating the ups and downs of working full-time,
running their own businesses,
blending families,
and taking on Nana duties.
Join us for our Becoming Sister Wives book club and Sister Wives rewatch.
And the challenging day-to-day events that just prove that every day, all day,
it's all chaos.
Welcome to episode 36 of the It's All Chaos podcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Tracy.
And I'm Jill in the basement wife position today.
Okay, we're just changing it up around here.
Hey, why not? We can share. We get along like sister wives.
They're trying to make me feel special.
I think we get along better than sister wives.
We probably do.
I mean, yeah. We get along similar to how it appeared they got along in the beginning of the show, which is what we're kind of talking about now.
It's funny that you
now.
Say that, though, because I wrote a couple of times... Robin made a lot more snarky comments that I remember from back when. Like, now that we know where things are going, I'm like,
you can
see her short temper because one of the episodes we watched was the wedding episode, and you could see her having such a short fuse with her kids that day.
But we're not, but that one's not this episode.
No, it's not. We're not getting that.
I'm just saying,
after the recent episodes we watched, we just are now seeing things.
Right. And we'll see it differently now, knowing like what's to come.
I'm just going to spoil it now, and then I'll say it in the next episode, because today we're covering the rewatch of season 1, episode 4 and 5, and then we're going to also do 6 and 7, and in episode 7, she was getting ready for the wedding, and everybody had left her with the kids.
With her kids.
You know, basically, just her kids. Everybody had left her, though, and she was like, I can't believe I decided to do this with no help, and I went in my head, and that was the last time you ever did it with no help for the rest of your life.
Right, but I thought it was interesting, because never did she ask.
She never asked anybody which, for help. Which the otherwise even
just
said.
I'm just saying, even as it progressed on, she hired help anytime she needed it.
Well, never the family.
There was a lot of family. Kay McKelty, we know, was over
that's true.
A lot.
I mean, she had
sister moved in and helped
out But never the sister wives, who that was supposed to be
I'm
part of
saying,
their
role. The thing is, I also think it was very interesting, and we'll get to it when we get to it, but the three women, none of them thought in their head, oh, maybe she's going to be a little busy this day. Somebody should probably be getting her kids ready for her.
Right.
Because people know that about
But the thing is, though, is other than Mary... The other two didn't really have big wedding things that they were getting ready and doing all the stuff for.
They should still...
They knew what was going on.
No, I mean, but...
I know what you mean, but they knew what
was
going on.
But maybe because she never asked and because of, like, her snarkiness that we've seen, they were like, well, if she doesn't ask, I'm not going to offer.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
So, I mean, I probably wouldn't.
But
I'm an only wife, and that's why.
But I think we see a lot of different things. Ooh, my ice machine is going. I'm just going to push the button so it... Let's not make noise the rest of our podcasting. Okay. Sorry, friends. You know, that's the
case. It's always chaos. It's right? Just, there's chaos.
Yeah. But they're her kids. And the thing is we see some things from brown children from time to time. But I think from the beginning, we see the chaos that is her children. I mean, they're like locking her out of the car and running around in circles.
She's like,
open this car up. I'm like.
They are feral.
Yeah, they're a little.
Slightly feral. Not, you know.
You know some feral children. So.
Yeah, we've talked about feral children, I think, on a podcast episode. We did a weird tangent off.
Yeah.
And so her kids fall a little bit into that feral realm at this point of
the
show.
And it's really funny. Again, looking into the future, watching her with Saul and Ari, right? And how, like, Ari makes, like, some comment to a kid at school. Again, this is like right after COVID. They go back to school. And Cody says to her, were you... pestering, I think that's the word he used, was like, were you pestering the other kid at school? And you could see Robin go, we don't say pester.
Yeah, like, what's wrong with the word pester?
I'm like,
but that's what it is.
Who put a stick up your butt?
I'm like, man, we don't
say
that word. Like, I mean, how controlled are
that's where we draw the line, is that pester?
They don't say anything. Robin, I'm coming to terms with, does not say anything that may have any possible negative connotation or make them...
She might be one of those moms who never says no.
Feel like they're not allowed to have anything negative in their life.
Which, let's be completely honest, does not breed functional adults.
But again, this is why they're in Flagstaff.
Right? Well, yeah. But I mean, again, instead of saying no, you could say, how about we do this instead? Can I have candy? How about we have some fruit in a bowl?
I mean, what would you say rather than pestering? right?
Right, annoying.
I mean, pestering is a really nice
way. Were you annoying them? That's yeah. I feel like annoy sounds worse than pestering.
And maybe I'm saying it wrong.
Or bother. But we
get down there. But I remember whatever word Cody used, and it wasn't that bad of a word. Whatever
you're
word.
You're just like, we don't say
that. No, we don't. And then, Cody was almost like, then what word use, right?
What do you mean we don't use that word?
I'm trying to remember now. Was it smothering or pestering? I don't know.
But anyways, we'll get there. Not a bad
word. Get there in about 5 years.
It wasn't like a curse word.
Right. Oh, no. No, yeah, no. But, okay. So, season 1, episode 4 and 5 rewatch. They're about 30 minutes or less, so I figured we could
do
both.
I don't know what season they started doing
the hour-longs.
I think it was after season 1, I think.
Okay. Like after it had success, they did longer episodes.
Right, okay. Right. Because if you remember, it was supposed to be just...
it was just supposed to be like a docu-series.
Well, first it was a documentary.
Right.
And then Cody's like, I think we can get a couple out of this. I'm going to marry Robin. And so then we started stretching it.
So then it was like a limited docu-series of like a one season type of thing, maybe.
And then it was successful. And then once it started being successful, like, we'll give you a whole hour. And they're like, bring in the money.
And then TLC was like, we'll make money and you'll make money.
Yeah. Right. I mean, which we saw in the book where Robin talked about how this was when, you know, it was so good for their family to make the money.
So thank me. Because I am getting married.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of things. I've heard a lot of things about the fact that they had made this deal with TLC before she was even really in the picture. And we do hear a lot in these upcoming 4 episodes that we watched about things have been so delayed. It's taking so long to get to my wedding. Our courtship is so long.
Because they delayed it because of the show, right?
It's partially because of the show. And then we read this in the book. It was partially because of the show. And then it was like, well, then that month was Mary's anniversary. Well, we couldn't do it around Mary's anniversary.
Because they were trying to get married like the day before or something, right?
Yeah.
Day before her birthday. Oh, before her birthday. That's right.
And her birthday was...
Was it on her birthday at first? And then they said, we'll move it
to the day before, the day after or something. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just a whole mess.
Yeah.
But her son Dayton's birthday is the same as Mary's, Robin's son.
Right. Yeah.
It's the same as Mary's birthday. So, but yeah, it was like all these things. And then like Truly was going to be born. And then, you know, so they didn't want to plan and have Christine maybe not be pregnant. So anyways.
But it was all just to fumble Robin and make her just have this long courtship.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know that that's the way she said. Yeah, but yeah. Well, I don't know that that's, I understand what you were saying, Foo.
Nobody thought that was the most important thing.
Oh, no. And yeah, we'll get to it. Okay. So I started off episode 4, which is called Third Wife in Labor.
Because this is when Truly is going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Little baby Truly. So Christine had miscarried a year before she got pregnant with Truly. So basically we got a little rainbow baby going on
and
here.
I think that was why she wanted to be
in the hospital.
Yep, because she was older. Because it had been 6 years since
And she was worried birth. Because of the miscarriage. Right. And she just wanted to have all the assurances. And all the wives seemed, for all of them who have never had a hospital birth.
Yeah.
Other than, I think, Robin with her other kids.
I don't remember. No, I think she
with her other three? With her first three?
Yeah, no, I think she did.
So, but the other wives, like Janelle and Mary, were very, like, supportive of her choosing to do it in the hospital because they thought that was a good idea because of all of that,
Yeah. So they're on their way to the doctor's office, which appears to also be in the hospital. There's going to be some questions on whether or not they're going to induce because at that point she's 1 week overdue and that's the longest she had ever been post due date. They do comment that Mary's 20-year anniversary is in 1 week, and then Robin's wedding is 8 weeks. So Truly's a week overdue.
Mm-hmm.
Mary's birthday is in a week, or anniversary is in a week, and then Robin's wedding is in
Things
8
are coming
weeks.
Up.
Right.
Yeah.
So at Christine's follow-up appointment, it was funny. In the car, they're talking about, well, we don't want to induce today because that's the 13th. And that
then they could
have
a Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
birthday.
They're worried about a Friday the 13th birthday. But then
they realize something else with the number 13.
That's right, with the doctor. Or maybe it's pre-doctor.
I think it was
in.
Like right before they got out of the car.
Wait a minute, it's the 13th and this is your 13th child. So you could have your 13th
child.
So
how cool would that be? And then all of a sudden their tune changed and they didn't care about Friday the 13th birthdays.
We're in.
They're in. They're down for it.
Yep. So Cody and Christine are very cutely kind of like snuggling in the hospital bed, which I noted again was cute. Like I think I think Cody is still in this stage where he still loves his wives.
And he's still showing that. And
yes, he's still showing that.
And Robin's talking about how he's a great dad for her kids. And she seems very sincere in that at that time. And it seems like he is giving that. And so I feel like there's a lot of honesty in some of these portions of, yeah. of this. And they're talking back and forth. For this, even with all of these kind of things and moving parts going on, it's just, you know, sometimes I don't feel that when Robin speaks, there's very much sincerity there. But when she said this, I didn't feel like it was so...
Man, we're just making all the noises, Tam, sorry.
I didn't feel like it was staged or, yeah. you know, like doing it for show
Like a prompted answer right. or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, I think unless Robin is talking about the other wives, I think when she's talking about Cody or her children, I think I feel like she is always sincere.
No, I think that she plays anything up with Cody like yeah. Like she like over embellishes and makes it just so much more.
Whereas like whatever she was saying in this one,
it was sincere. It wasn't overdone.
Or it wasn't like hyperbolic.
Correct.
I guess I understand what you're saying.
It was
yeah.
there because she just makes him sound like he is. This man that walks on water for children.
And his shit don't stink.
And I'm like, I am sorry. You do not walk on water for your children.
No. Maybe for himself.
I feel like at that point in time, he did.
I don't think he did. I think he was gone too much to be walking on water. Did he enjoy them? Did he like them? But he did not drop everything for all of them. And you got to remember, at the beginning,
we spent so much time
focused on the individual...
Relationships
that we didn't actually see as much interaction with the children.
Yeah, that's true.
At that time.
Well, because so many of them were still pretty young, so right. it was harder to...
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about different things, and we see it in the next episode, episode 5, where, you know, we needed to talk to you about Mariah's decision for school and the Navy
that was all interesting, that how you have no idea... That going to the Naval Academy requires some pretty serious.
Well, I don't think that was the surprise to her. I think the surprise to her was that the homeschool option or the private school option that they had in their plig community wasn't going to give her the thing she needed. I think that's where she was.
That's what I'm saying. I just
surprised.
Find that the because being so naive in certain areas. And I'm like...
Well, I mean, she's a teenager.
I know, but if you're thinking the Naval Academy, in order usually to think Naval Academy...
Or any of the military academies. Yeah, true.
You have already seen that it's going to take some...
I mean, that's true. Like, my sister-in-law, she went to West Point. So... And so...
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's true.
But I think what happens is I think this is how I think she got down that road. We're way jumping to the next episode. But I think she was like, I want to become a doctor. Doctor school is very expensive. We're a very large family.
The Navy will pay for it.
You know, if I join the Navy, they'll pay for it.
And they have the best place
in the Navy to go for medical? You know, Annapolis.
Well, yeah, and
then I'm going to go there.
And I think out of all of the, like, if she would have just looked into, like, military schools in general, I think that she even mentioned that, like, or maybe Cody mentioned it, that the Naval Academy is, like, one of the top medical schools.
Right.
And then...
So I think
specifically out of the military, that was kind of her.
Military school is free. I think that was where her brain went.
I think she's just a naive teenager and doesn't know about the world.
So stepping back, Christine's in the hospital. Cody and her are looking really cute, laying in the bed, waiting for the doctor to come. The doctor comes and they say, "Hey, 13th baby on the 13th. You think we're ready?" He says, "Give her the Pitocin," and they start that whole process. And then they do talk about the fact that Aspen is going to be in the hospital for the birth because at 15 years old, they think she is old enough to experience that.
Yeah, 15 or 16.
Sure.
Yeah.
I did make a note very specifically here because of what we know and what we've discussed based on the book and based on other shows, the other more recent shows that we've seen, or the most recent, is that Cody seemed so incredibly happy and in love at the hospital with Christine.
Yes.
And so overjoyed. Now, did I think maybe when he went back to his house to get the clothes or whatever he was going to do before he knew how quickly Christine was going to be moving, when he's like, he knows now that her water broke and it's happening. And he's like, I got to get some kisses in. I'm extra kisses in with my girlfriend. Because, of course, they're
well,
fiancé there. But they have to do some kissing. And
I have an interpretation on that also.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah, so I have the notes. Cody is leaving. to go get some things and to kind of tell the family the process of what's going on. Yet somehow everybody already knows, though, because there was already some calling and texting. I don't know. I just thought that was weird that he's like, I'm going to go tell everybody. And I'm like, there's already, you know, Janelle's and Mary are...
They're in, like, a text chat. And,
right. So then, like Tracy just said, Christine's water breaks, and she calls to say, you better hurry, because historically when her water breaks, things happen quickly.
Boom, baby.
Right. So did she say within 30 minutes or something?
It was something really fast. Yeah.
So at this point in time, we'd see that Cody is at Robin's. Okay. So Cody's at Robin's, and they're kind of talking about things, and Cody's like, well, I better go. And he kind of quickly goes outside, and it seems like Robin
runs after
almost
him.
Tries to sneak out the door. Like, you didn't say goodbye to me. And I think that the cameraman tailed them.
Yes.
And I think they had a quick little kiss that they didn't want anybody to see, that it was trying to be quick.
Because he didn't want him making out with his girlfriend while his wife was in labor. And he said that to the camera.
If it was a really quick kiss, it would have been over before the camera would get that door.
No, I think it was. Because I think that by the time, and you can go back, and I really paid attention to this. By the time the cameraman got his camera out around the door, they were pulling apart.
Yeah.
So I think it was quick. And then he sees the cameraman and says, oh, you're trying to catch me.
And then makes a joke.
Kissing my girlfriend about
it. Well, my wife's in labor.
And then it cuts. And then it you know, it's almost like there's a skip in the tape. And then there's a couple more kisses. And I almost feel like the cameraman was like, or the producer on the side was like, oh, go on, just give her a few more kisses, right? I feel like there was a little bit of...
It did seem really kind of jumpy-ish.
I mean, he could have been produced.
I feel like he gets sent down the river a lot for this moment, and it wasn't like he was making out. It wasn't like she was in labor overnight and he went and slept over the night at Robin's house,
right?
He was skipping out the door to run because her water broke.
Right.
Robin but did went you out notice for he had to go to Robin's kiss. In order to get what he needed for clothes or whatever?
See, I didn't even think he needed clothes. I don't even know why he left.
For like he went to her house rather than anybody else's house. He didn't go to Christine's to get Christine's stuff. He didn't go anywhere else.
Well, Christine probably already had her stuff because she's more prepared.
I'm
induction.
Just saying.
Okay, but here's what I wrote down. He left to do a few things and tell the family. Now, Janelle and Mary are on group tech chat. Maybe Robin is not yet involved with that, or maybe he felt like he needed to go tell Robin in person. So he says, I'm going to go run a few errands and tell the family. But again, we're already seeing... Mary said, I was at work and I got a text message.
Yeah, maybe Janelle's she wasn't in the text chat. Maybe she wasn't part of the Cool Kids
Club
yet.
Again, this is us trying to, you know, like, master dissect.
Well, probably because she causes problems in the text chat.
Dude. So, all right. Cody kisses Robin. Okay, so yeah, I wrote down that I really think some of that was produced or manipulated. That they're like,
When I think back on it, I do remember it seeming like there was like a weird skip or like jump,
a weird edit.
Like it wasn't just like the continuous rolling of the film.
And like I said, people make a huge deal out of this. And again, it wasn't like they were Frenching in the driveway.
And
for
we
five,
all know that Cody
is. I'm just saying was no reason because he did not change clothes. Nothing happened. He shouldn't have left the damn hospital.
Well, so I 100% agree with that.
Mom still wants to rake him over the coals. And y'all know that Cody is not our favorite person. So when Jill and I are making a comment of like, he really gets beat up about this, but like,
again,
it's
maybe
not
it
that
wasn't as bad.
Thing,
I'm just saying he didn't even need to leave.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Right.
So, sure. Because he didn't do anything.
Right.
So,
but I will tell you from the time it was my first baby because I've only had one baby. From the time we started my Pitocin drip, it was 24 hours before I gave birth. So that's again where I'm like, her water hasn't broke yet. So maybe he's
were
like,
were you induced?
But I was induced, yeah.
Oh, okay.
My blood pressure was so high because you remember I was going through divorce and I was super,
super
going through all
of
that.
Yeah.
So
Alex is the only one of us that's had more than one. But I only had Alex and I was in, from the time my water broke to the time Alex was born was 8.5 hours.
That's pretty good. So from the time they started my Pitocin drip, it was 12 hours and that's when my contractions started going like regularly and getting bigger. And then I was having trouble dilating. Like, I just wouldn't dilate, and that was kind of a problem. And then around 8 o'clock in the morning, they're like, maybe if we break her water, it'll speed things up. And then around 11 o'clock, I finally gave birth to Tori. And I pushed for about half hour, 45 minutes, I think.
What was happening to me is I wasn't progressing. My water had broke, so the timer had started.
Right.
And I wasn't dilating. And finally, they were like, they gave Pitocin to help with those contractions and things. And then they gave me Stadol for the pain of it rather than like an epidural. And they said, when we get to a certain point, we can do the epidural when you're at right. a certain dilation. And then all of a sudden, I told them to go out and get the nurse. I said, and they were like, well, we'll come check you in a little while. And I was like, I am telling you right now, if you don't do something, I'm going to push. And they were like, you better not push. And I said, I'm going to. And so they checked and they were like,
oh. My mom was 19, so she was full of sass.
Yeah. Barely. Well, yeah, I was 19. Yeah. Anyway, so I told them, I'm going to push. And then they said, fine, we'll have somebody check you. So they came in and they were like, oh, sorry, too late for an epidural. You're at 10. So I had went from like nothing to 10.
Which.
Super fast.
Also, praise the Lord Jesus that they no longer say at a certain point they'll no longer give you the epidural when you're dilated at a certain point.
They won't?
Because
they
no. If you can sit still, you can get the epidural basically at any point as long as you're not pushing it. Because with Max, I went from 0 to 100 so fast that by the time I was bleeding.
That, I think that was my problem is I was at 10 and they said we have to push.
No, but listen. Because with Max... I had started bleeding really, really bad, which then I found out later my placenta had started to detach. So it like kicked my body into hyperdrive. By the time I was in the hospital in triage, I was 100% effaced and 10 centimeters dilated. And the doctor on call said, ask her if she wants the epidural because if she does, you need to give it to her now. And then we'll figure out ordering the other stuff and putting it in the system later. And they said, if you can hold still, we'll give it to you. And so at 10 centimeters dilated, 100% effaced.
Did you have it with James too?
But I did have epidural with James, but like earlier. But the thing that saved me is that my water hadn't broke. And so they gave me that. I held still. They gave me the epidural. It was fabulous.
So maybe that was also part of my problem. Because my water broke.
Yeah, your water maybe. Maybe that's part of it. But that, my water not breaking is the only reason Max was still in my body when I got to the hospital.
I did not get the epidural. So.
Mom was a champ. There you go. And I got one both times.
And she was big. So.
Both times. Just yeah.
9 pounds, 15 ounces.
Wow.
Big.
And neither one of my kids were as big as me.
Tori was little. Didn't mean I didn't have
She was bald and big. And perfect.
And went to then I went to the NICU.
Her head had no weird shape to it.
Neither did either
her
my
head
kids.
Was perfectly round, gorgeous. So she didn't look like an alien baby.
Same thing with both my kids. Worked out.
But so I did note that down that we're talking about epidurals because it's funny because I said Cody makes it back to the hospital right as Christine's about to get an epidural, and I said it couldn't be that fast between Cody getting there and birth if she was getting an epidural. But now hearing your story, maybe it could have been.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know when they started to make that change with, like, how they can administer it to you or whatever. So it's possible because, I mean, truly still older than my kids, but, you know, a lot younger than I am.
I also thought it was funny at that time when the doctor's in there getting ready to do the epidural and all of the things. That's when he starts bringing up in vitro and asking
about his other wife.
And grilling the doctor about in vitro for Mary. And Christine looks at him like,
This is not the time.
This baby isn't even born and you're already ready to get on the business?
This is not the time, sir.
But here's because he's like, can you recommend a fertility doctor? And the doctor's looking at him like, what the heck? And then I wrote down, okay, because like you said, there was the looks, especially between the doctor and Christine.
Right.
And he's like, no, it's my other wife. She only has one. And he's like, ovary? And she's like, no, one kid. That's the business I'm in. I'm in the kid business.
Right. That's what he said.
And then... Cody looks at the doctor.
He says, I quoted it. It's the business I'm in, kids.
And then he says to the doctor,
when did he get out of that business? Because they all became non-important.
Right.
Is it when they're not tender anymore?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Truly, in my opinion, still tender. Because if Sol and Ari are still tender, then Truly is still tender. But then
Truly,
he looks
Truly
at the
was
doctor.
Defaced by her mother.
So Cody turns and says to the doctor, Mary and Christine have always had a close relationship. It's okay. I'm like,
no.
What?
They have not always.
What?
They have had times when they did, and then they didn't.
But I'm like, when she first came into the family, they
did. And then they didn't. And then they kind of did again. Not. And then they didn't. They have like this, we do and we don't. Oh, it's like they break up, get back together all the time, Mary and Christine.
Yeah.
Well, I think honestly, Christine tried.
Yeah.
And then she could be able to take Mary's overbearing bossiness so much. And I don't fault Mary for that because I'm a little bit like that.
What?
But I don't fault her for that. But the thing is, you got to know when to pull back. And I don't think she ever knew when to just pull back.
Like Christine didn't know when to pull back?
No.
Or Mary didn't know
Mary didn't know when to pull back from being overbearing and bossy.
Do you know how to pull back?
I'm better at it now than I used to be.
She's pulled her mom voice on me a couple times.
I only say, well, she pulls her mom voice on me.
But a lot, she's your mom.
She is my mom. But she pulls her mom voice on everybody. She will mom anybody who needs momming.
Hey, it's part of it.
She
is,
does it because just, she loves.
Isn't the mom voice? It's part of it is my education in like
the hard knocks of life,
psychology and adult and education and training, and how to basically I use it to diffuse situations.
She gets her knack for momming or parenting people in certain situations from her dad. Because he also does that.
Let's talk about the good news. Christine pushed for 5 to 10 minutes and out pops 7-Eleven.
Baby Truly.
7 pounds, 11 ounces. Baby Truly.
Baby Truly.
And I said, ends with cute Truly.
Yep. Cute Truly.
And she called it so easy. Aspen calls and lets the family know. She says, epidural is the best thing ever. And she kept saying, I felt everything. I think she thought with an epidural, like her whole lower half is
like going you wouldn't to feel anything. But the whole point is you're still supposed to be able to feel.
She
the pressure.
Thought that the epidural was going to be like a spinal block,
like it just numbed everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Right. But the fact that she could feel because the pressure, but not
that's
the pain,
what my mom had.
She was
with
so
me.
Excited.
Right. When my mom was pregnant with me,
I still felt it. Yay.
Yeah.
She had a spinal block because I was breech,
and she was tiny, tiny woman.
Oh, that's a big baby,
but she was a tiny breech. Woman.
Or you were breech. Maybe Dustin was breech.
Anyway, and also a giant baby and
anyway.
A tiny woman.
Oh, he was even bigger.
That's what I'm saying.
He was almost a month overdue.
Yeah, and Nana.
They would never let you do that.
And
now.
Nana was petite.
But petite. So she had to have a spinal block, and it took days for her to be able to feel like all of her leg
yeah.
again.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Tiny women having big babies.
That's
all, right. all about
so
that.
So that is the 30 minutes of season 1, episode 4. All right.
Any other comments on episode 4?
No.
All right, let's move on to First Wife's 20th anniversary.
That is Mary, for those of you who maybe forgot.
Nope.
She's the first wife.
Because as far as Cody's concerned now,
there's only
one. He's never loved anybody else.
He's never loved anyone else, but...
Not who's number one.
At one point in time, the first one.
That's right.
Not like the number one wife, as in the first one.
It was
just the one that happened chronologically first.
It was an accident.
It was his religionally larger duty. I
exactly.
don't know what word I was looking for, but it was his
religious
faith,
duty.
Faith.
His faith
obligation.
So
yeah.
We're kicking off.
Obligatory.
Episode 5.
Episode 5.
With the ladies going, the first three ladies.
Yep.
Going to the jewelry
OG wives.
Store. They are going to pick out a ring.
The ex-wives club.
For...
Robin, yes.
To include her in the Claude Ring Club.
Yep.
Which I think is very nice.
I think it's very nice, and I think when we see later that she receives it, you know, we'll talk about it then. But I think all in all, everybody was genuine in all parts of this.
I agree. I feel like that's one of the only times we see genuine tears from Robin. Yeah.
I was giggling, though, as they're talking about the different Claude rings that they have available, and they're discussing this one or this one, and the cheap, how much is this one, and how much is this one, and they're like, oh, it's only this. And I think they felt guilty that they actually liked
the cheap one, the
cheaper
best.
One, the best. They're like,
but they said it had the most detail,
right?
Right?
Yeah. I think it's because it was silver and not like white gold
yeah.
or
right,
something
right, right.
like that.
Yeah.
But it had the more details in it. And but I think they always felt a little. They were feeling a little guilty
because
they, except Janelle
yeah.
felt no
oh,
guilt
yeah.
at all.
But
she
the thing
like,
is, though, is if but they did genuinely like that one uh-huh. the best, regardless of it being the cheapest. That was just a bonus
uh-huh.
that it was
yeah.
the cheapest. My husband
but
would
Janelle
say I
would said
have
she
would probably have liked
it,
the
no matter
most
what.
Expensive one.
Janelle said she would have picked the yeah. cheaper one no matter what because they have
well,
they have no money.
She's the finance gal,
right?
So
and
luckily
said,
that happened to be the one that they liked.
She said, yeah, she says we do all right, but you know. But anyways, it's funny because they kept calling it a Claude ring, and Casey was watching a little of the episode with me. He's all, it's Claude. You pronounce yeah. it Claude, and I was like, okay. But it is the traditional Irish wedding band, and there's Irish on Mary's side, right? Isn't that why that kind of got? Because Casey was trying
I
to ask me that too.
I actually honestly have no idea where the Irish whatever came from.
Yeah,
I don't,
why that
why
kind
they
of became a family
like yeah why
tradition.
It became a thing like where
why
is the Irish
the
in it is there
yeah.
Irish
family
yeah.
symbol
yeah.
identity
right so but apparently it was a thing.
So anyways, they're talking about to the lady at the ring store who you know they were buying it for somebody. Oh, is she a sister? Is she a whatever?
And they're like, yeah.
And Janelle kind sister. Of explains that saying sister is a lot easier. The second you say sister wives, they know. But if you're like a friend, a special friend, then it seems
weird.
Different.
So yeah, they just say sister. Because then no one asks more questions.
Right. So then Robin is being interviewed, and she basically says how the last few months have just kind of been a struggle because she's really kind of trying to find her place in the family. And I'm like,
welcome to the story of your entire life.
You're not married yet. Like, what? I don't know. Like,
this is the beginning.
But you know what? A lot of that feeling that she's saying right there also comes back to play, and she bemoans on it in the look backs or whatever, where she's like, you know, I moved my whole life to, to be there.
They moved their entire life for you and your one child.
And I'm like, their house was set, lady.
Yeah.
And they were nothing but happy to have you in until you came in and blew crap up.
But then, when they were all happy in Vegas, everybody uprooted their entire lives for her and her one child.
Right. And I'm going to have to watch as we go back through the rewatches and see where did people start becoming disheartened with Vegas. Because I feel like Cody said
I don't think they ever did.
I feel like we heard Cody say that they
were doing it. I think only the two of them.
And then the other people were glomming on to it like, yeah, maybe it is a little bit crazy for our kids or whatever. No. And all the kids are like, no.
I think the only reason is because Cody said something because Robin said something. And so then the other ones were
I'm just saying,
Cody.
I didn't remember hearing Robin say it first. I think Cody was the one who broached it first.
So again, there's a lot of speculation.
But it happened out of nowhere. Right. I mean, it's just like, there's Vegas is too bad.
Yeah, for your kids, for your family doesn't even attend your church anymore. Okay.
Right.
And you live on the outskirts. I mean,
You don't live on the strip.
Vegas is downtown Vegas.
A lot of Vegas is like where we live.
Right.
Well, yeah, exactly. Vegas and Phoenix are very similar.
It looks like where
we
live if you get away from the strip.
Right. Right. Yeah, for sure. But I think from what I remember, and I've done a rewatch, and then I read the Reddits.
Right.
So I see other bits and baubles too. But I think from what I've gathered, behind the scenes, Dayton got accepted to NAU.
Yeah.
So Robin wanted to go to
NAU. Oh, yes. We know the reason now.
So, yeah. So that's what I think, you know, again, at the time
but
was happening
time,
behind the scenes.
Did they tell us that?
No.
We didn't know that.
They never talk about it in the show.
No, it's never
until
talked about
they're
in the
Flagstaff and he goes to NAU.
Right.
Like,
I don't think
that
it was ever
never said in the show. Yeah.
Right. Again, I think this
so
is
I think
all
those,
behind the scenes
right.
facts.
And then Cody is the first person to say it to camera.
If you remember, Cody has this big presentation. He calls everybody over to one wife's house and he's got...
He loves charts. He loves a presentation.
He's got the
and a
big posty flippers. I mean, he's
you,
a salesman of
who
all
do
salesmen.
Who do they keep in business?
Right?
With
Kinko's.
All of these posters they have made
Kinko's.
All the time.
Kinko's.
Or does Robin have a big printer from QVC?
She might. She might have a poster printer.
Right? I mean, you got to think he's in sales. I think he stole all these supplies from the office.
That's probably true.
But I thought he did sales for himself at that point. When
you
left Vegas.
I mean,
he was already doing his like gun show stuff.
I feel like that was kind of a side project for a long time. I feel like maybe in Vegas it kind of became maybe the full time thing then.
Okay.
I don't know. But so
they don't really tell us that either.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, they don't talk about that. But I think again, like the topic of handguns can be polarizing in America.
Yeah,
right.
So they probably
didn't want to talk about it.
Right.
They just said he was in sales. But I'm just saying for his poster board thing.
Right.
Those would be his poster boards. You know
right.
what I mean?
Well, if he was. But maybe he took a whole lot of them before he cleaned up his office in Utah. You don't know.
Yeah.
He's got one of their mobile storage units
right?
full of poster boards.
Oh yeah. Hey, I'm telling you, those big sticky like Post-it brand anchor charts, like gold in my field.
Yeah.
That's right.
You can get your hand on a whole pack of them. You're in business.
So anyways, he whipped up this whole presentation basically saying...
Is that on Jill?
What are we doing?
Right there.
Is there one of those giant bugs?
That's a giant bug.
It's just a mosquito jack.
Yeah, it's just one
giant.
Of those. Giant. You call them mosquito jacks. We call them mosquito hawks.
It just was like going past behind your head, and I was
like
it's giant. It's giant.
It's just a mosquito jack.
It's chaos.
Hey,
quiet
it's
chaos.
Arizona. We got weird bugs, but these ones are harmless.
Yeah, they
are.
They're just like giant. The biggest mosquitoes you ever see.
They're not mosquitoes though.
I know, they just what they look
if
like.
If he lands, we'll get him.
Mom saves all the creatures unless they're flies.
I do not save them really hard so they drop to the ground.
I do not save all the bugs.
Except for flies.
Earwigs.
Oh yeah, earwigs, but we don't have those
here. And I have occasionally. And no, I like
no, we don't kill roly polies.
Oh. And I
what's an earwig. Oh, is that those one of the pinchers?
Oh, yeah, God, on the floor. Yes. Okay. They're just the wet ones. They usually yeah. hide they under do like have a wet hair. We do. They're yeah. just not as
sometimes.
Oh, I've never seen one here, and I used to see them all the time.
I was super surprised when I saw the first one.
Most of the time, they're under a bag of potatoes. If I keep the potatoes too long in the bottom of my pantry.
In Idaho, they would get under your dish rag, like if it was wet, because they like the moisture, or they'd be outside under hoses.
They were in the shed.
Yeah,
they were always in the shed.
But the other thing that squirrel. I will kill, I don't go outside to kill them or any of that kind of stuff, but I will have it done if the ants get in my house. I have to take care of it.
Yeah.
What
would you do if there's a scorpion in your house?
She would kill it. I would kill it.
I don't know. I've never come across that. It would be hard.
Is that crazy that you don't, I mean, you live on South
She literally
mountain,
lives
yeah.
next to the mountain.
Near, yeah, I'm
And I
you
live
don't.
In the middle of the city.
The only
and I
scorpion I've
at
ever,
my old house.
Ever seen house. At my house.
It was dead in a box.
It was. I brought a box
it was petrified.
From a warehouse. I don't remember what was in it. It was a big box.
That's when we lived in Queen Creek.
From Costco. We opened up the box and there was one that had must have crawled in there. And then when they stacked it on the pallet, it squashed him dead. So he was flat and dried out.
Oh,
but that's the only one. I've never seen a live one at my house.
I've seen a couple.
And now, did I go out and look for any? No, I haven't. But I also have. Since the day I came in, they had pest control.
Yeah, you have a bug guy.
That came that does.
Yeah, you've said that.
For
yeah.
scorpions, different things like that. And we have never once missed
a treatment. Yeah.
They continue to come. And because I've never seen one, I keep them coming.
Yep. That's a good plan.
But like I said, because I got little dogs and I can't have them stung.
Yeah. There's a desert nature preserve across the street from my house. So I feel like.
And
I'm
it also depends
no
on what's in your area. Like, if there's nothing that was hospitable to them or at the time, they haven't built nests there. So here's the thing about scorpions. You either have them or you don't where you are, because they stick to their nests and there are certain trees and barks that they live in and different things. And if you do not have those on your property, and or they haven't been there in a long time, they're not going to be there because their habitat is not there.
That's what in Arizona they're called bark scorpions. So for the most part, I mean, there's different kinds, but yeah. And that's the thing is like my old house with my parents, it was an orange grove. Can you imagine the scorpions that live in the orange grove?
Because do you
trees?
See lots of lizards at your house?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's another thing.
I do.
Is they,
on my fences.
Lizards apparently are one of their food sources.
One of their food sources?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the lizards should eat the scorpions.
No, they will eat. No. And so a lot of times if you see a lot of lizards, you don't have a high scorpion population because the scorpions will come in and keep
them. Oh, yeah. No. Out. Yeah. At my current house, I'll have to say I don't think I've ever seen a scorpion. And I do have quite a lot of lizards that crawl on my fence. And I don't remember seeing a ton of lizards at my old house. And that's where I did kill four or five scorpions throughout
my
2 years.
Oh my gosh,
we get
4, 5, 6 a year. Some years are worse. I had a year as high as 15.
I think in my...
And I've had a year as low as a couple.
I think in like my 2 years I was there, I only inside ever saw 4 or 5.
I have had what they call scorpion spiders, which look very much like a scorpion. Like they have the little tail that comes up, but there's not a stinger and they don't bite, but they're like that size.
Yeah.
And that freaked me out when I had that. I've had them twice at the house that they've gotten in. But
I don't know.
They're clearly spider. I mean, you can tell it's different once you get close enough. But
if it was
just
a spider,
across,
I would also smush it. I don't save any bugs. I'm awful.
Yeah,
I love God and I love God's creatures, but I kill them anyways.
So I made it for a purpose, and it's not the
and
purpose
that's
in my house.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Again, anything that
same thing with the mice.
Anything that isn't going to hurt me, I put it outside.
The mouse gets in my house, and it can't be.
Yeah.
Trapped
are
humanely.
You relocated?
I saved the bees out of my pool. I've saved lizards out of my pool. Some things
birds.
Have died in my pool because I didn't see them. I've saved birds out of the pool many times. And we lost a, must have been a gopher in the pool. I can't think they get up their thing, but there's plenty of gophers
damn
in my
gophers.
Area. But he got into the basket.
So quickly back on topic. I'm sorry for the mosquito hawk. But anyway, so Cody came and gave this whole presentation. And he started off focusing it solely on money. And he basically said, if we don't sell why the market is high now, we won't be able to support our kids into our retirement.
Do you think it's
retirement.
Because they had 80-20 loans? Do you think they had like some sort of...
There is that rumor too. There is the rumor that because of the loans that they had, that like let's say that they had an arm or whatever,
an
that
arm,
the arms were up.
Yeah,
the arms
I guess
were up, and there was no way for them
but
to get refinanced.
I have no idea what any
of
that means.
For four of them to get financed at the same time...
So an 80-20 loan is where, because I had one when I was in Cottonwood back when they were giving mortgages to everybody. But an 80-20 loan is, let's say your mortgage is $100,000 on your home. $80,000 is on one mortgage and 20% is on another mortgage. So it would be $80,000 on this one and $20,000 over here.
So you automatically get a first and a second loan.
So it's like, yeah, a first and a second. But because of that, because it looks like you put 20% down, but the 20% is on this other loan.
Oh, I see.
Which is why
you
can get the loan for the other 80%.
Okay.
Okay, so they call it an 80-20.
Got it.
And most of the time, part of what happened in the 2008
explosion and then the big crash.
Got it.
Is that they were just giving loans, what they called signature loans. You didn't have to prove your income. You had to prove nothing.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And I didn't even realize when I bought my Cottonwood house.
You could just refinance in a year or two. Right. No problem. And then everything fell out from under. Yeah. Nobody could refinance because they were all upside down. Oh, sorry. Alarm.
Yeah. Mine was a two-year.
Take your pills.
Got it.
Mine was a two-year ARM. And when the 2 years came up, like we were at a fairly decent rate. Let's say 5 or 6%. But my percentage rate could jump every month.
After the 2 years?
After the 2 years, the percentage could jump every month, 1% max, until it met the market rate, which at the time, because things had crashed in those 2 years, at the time the market rate was like 18%. So we were at like 5, and then it was at 6. And every time I got my payment in the mail, I'm like, and we weren't living up there anymore. It was at the time it was a different house. We had renters. But all of a sudden the payment comes, and let's just say the payment was $800. And then the next time it came, it was $900. I was like, woo. And then the next time it came, it was like $1050. And I was like, what the, in the what? And then we realized our ARM was exploding and it was going to keep climbing until our payment over doubled.
Dang.
And
that's crazy.
We're like, what can we do? And we couldn't refinance. We couldn't anything.
Because you already had these two loans. And oh, geez.
Yeah, we already had an 80-20. And that's just, again, what they did. So there is rumor that they either had an 80-20.
They had some type of that was the something only way. That was causing.
Yeah. Or an they abrupt. Had an ARM that was about to start jacking. So if that's what it was. But the thing is I don't know why they didn't just say that in the show. And I know it's not anybody's true business, their financial situation, although they tiptoe around their finances. We're tight on money all the time. I mean, things are always tight. Like we're always, you know, I mean, every penny counts. Like, I mean, they're saying stuff like that. So why not say to be able to seal our dream of these Las Vegas homes, we had to do some real creative financing. And it was great for us for a time, but right now, our time is up on these homes.
Right, right. If we there don't would be a sell, way. There would be a way anyways. To make it like make sense
to the public without saying we're a million upside down in four homes. Right, like I'm sure it was more than that. But yeah, without saying that, there's a way to say, you know, we use some creative financing, and there's, you know, in 2 years we needed to figure out new financing, and the way things are, it's just not possible. So it was easier for us to sell and hopefully get a profit that we can then roll into the next situation.
Right,
but then
right.
What do they do? They end up going to, again, we're way off topic, but they end up going to Flagstaff, buying a plot of land
that isn't even
ready to build on. It still needs to be prepped in so many ways.
And they have to pay it off before they can build on it.
And what's the other part about this property? It was self-financed by the owners of the property, and they wrote the contract stating that if they didn't pay it off in whatever the time frame was, I think it was 5 years.
Five
if they
years,
didn't pay
I
it
think,
off
yeah.
in 5 years, it just defaulted back to them, which is why towards the end of this most recent season, Janelle's like, we got
to
pay it
we
off
have to
at
pay
some
it
point
off,
or
we're
going to
lose it, and we've lost
and
all
we've
this
lost
money we paid
yes.
into it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is probably why they were so stressed when they were trying
which
to sell
we did,
them.
Which we did know
they were,
specifically
they were so mad
that was the case for that land.
Selling them taking so long to sell. Like, it's their fault that they, I mean, because the first one that was on the market was the last one sold.
Yeah. Which is just crazy luck for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Mary's Wet Bar, that wasn't the first
was
to sell, but I
no,
just think it's
no.
funny.
Was Robin's was the first to sell, was
yes,
it not?
I believe it was, yeah.
And then Janelle's.
Yes.
And then Mary's, yep. then Christine's.
Yep. And the thing is looking at whatever Zillow was, right? Because you can pull up Zillow for those homes right now.
Right.
And they lowered the price on some of them, and
right.
they lowered the price on
right.
some of them. When Cody came and gave this presentation, we're going to make $100,000 on each home right now. And when all
they
was said and done, I don't know that they made just about anything.
Right.
Just
yeah.
It's sad for them. It makes me sad for them. I
right.
wish it would have worked out. So, all right, where were we again? I'm here. So we're starting season 5. We're talking about Clotter Rings. Okay, they buy the Clotter Ring. Robin,
20th anniversary.
Yeah, Robin's trying to find her place. That we went through that note. Okay, so then that's when we jump to the scene we already talked about, where Mariah/Leon is talking to Cody about
the
how she
Academy.
Wants to go to the Naval Academy,
yeah.
And he's basically saying, I think you're going to need to go to public school.
And she says, I hate it. Yeah. I hate public school. And he's like, why? And she's like, I just hate it. Like,
okay. Right. Yep, that's a total
But again, she was the one of the one children. There were two children. But she was one of the ones that wanted to stay in polygamy. She wanted to stay with the church.
That's what she said.
Right. At that time, I think she really...
Yeah, yeah.
She I think that was something she felt. Wanted to be was a mom, I think, she would talk about and different things like that. So I think that she just felt very belonged there. And I think as an individual child... And she didn't want
to
leave
that situation.
It was nice to have someone else to plug in.
Right. Yeah. She plugged in there with them and, and had another community. So I think that was good for her.
But Cody was very supportive. Obviously, Mary knows all about his support.
Oh, they were super excited. He just was like...
Right. He's just like, you need this piece of paper to be able to do
that.
But
I also think the nice thing about having Cody as a parent is he comes growing up outside of the polygamy.
So he knows
stuff about... So he knows a little bit more about traditional like real life and what it takes. Because I know that they talk about that in high school. Are you thinking about going to military? These are the things. And maybe it's because I grew up in a military town, but it was talked about a lot. About the different academies and what it would take to get into those. There was a test you had to take. There were
the ASFAB, right?
You didn't have any of those? Okay. So I did. Yeah. But, I think we did.
I don't think it was heavy, but I feel like,
in an Air Force Base town.
Right.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
I do not remember that unless you were, like, seeking the information. Like, we had ROTC.
Right.
And stuff like that people participated in and stuff.
Maybe lighter, but
we didn't, it was like, if you wanted that information, you wanted to hear it, like, you had to, like, seek it out. It wasn't, like, something that was just, like,
and again, it
generally
could have been
spoken.
Because we were so close to the base.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
from the military town that they just sent somebody up on a high school career day or whatever. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So, anyways, the one thing I wrote down at the end is that Cody's last comment before he walked out of that kitchen/conversation was, I am very pleased with you. Just the way he said it, I was like...
Oh, with
so
with
I did write down here, and I don't remember right off the top of my head exactly what it was, but I said, Mary's outfit, anniversary outfit. Oh, wait, that's the next one. Okay, there we go. Sorry, I wanted to talk. I'll talk about that.
Okay, well, we're getting there. So they announced that, you know, it's Mary's 20th anniversary. They're going to Lakai, which apparently is supposed to be one of the fanciest restaurants in Utah. You say Lakai, and everybody puts their little pinky up.
It's like Fleming's.
They had no... You're right. Yeah. No, I feel like it's better than
Fleming's. What's above Fleming's?
Yeah. What's that? No, I'm not going to be able to
think of
it.
I don't know, but Fleming's was expensive.
Yeah. It's... oh my gosh, it's another name. I want to say it starts with an M.
With an M.
Now I'm going to have to like Google it or something.
Is that the place where Robin and Cody go out to dinner when they always go to the fanciest restaurant in Arizona?
No.
Now for that they're always being seen at.
My ex-husband took me there on our second anniversary.
I just know that in the tabloids are always like, Robin and Cody were seen out. This is, you know, in recent days.
Is it normally in Scottsdale?
Yeah, different places.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's so funny.
And I'm like, they would be in Scottsdale.
Well, they can't come any further down. Scottsdale, they're already coming. They already came all the way down from Flagstaff.
Hey, I'm going up there.
Are you
going
to stop by Casa Brava or what is it?
No, because
Casa Brava?
Yes, yeah, something like that. No, we like to go to last year
Ruth Chris. Oh, that's the place I was thinking. Ruth Chris. Yeah, that's the one place where you buy your one piece of meat for like $40, and then if you want a side item, that's 25.
That's Fleming. Yes, Fleming does that too.
Yeah, it really is. That bad? Oh wow. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I've been there and I thought they had like it was plated.
So
then same idea.
But it might not be quite as much because it's like a chain,
I don't think the side items were $25. They're more probably like $15. And the side items
they could be two.
The side items were for two people. And the potatoes were really good.
But no, I'm not gonna go there because last year, because I'm going for a women's retreat, and it's at the same place every year. Last year, we went to this brewery. It was, like, I think new from the time we had been there before. And the food was so delicious that we were like, are we going there again? And everyone was like, yes. Ooh. So we have dinner there before we actually get to retreat.
We're still going
to
have to road trip up to Casa Brava.
I know.
Oh, I mean, I'm down anytime. But women's retreat, they won't appreciate it the same as you guys.
We do not have any vacation plans yet for July or August. And
it would be nice to go up away from
Casey. Casey really needs my travel schedule for July or August.
We could go up and do that for on a July because it'd be nice to get out of the heat. We could do it.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm still on summer vacation in July.
July, yep.
Also,
it's true.
My birthday is in July.
There you go. Isn't July when you're going to Vegas too?
Yeah, but not until the end.
I'm just saying.
So that it is the end of July.
So we can think about going to Casa Brava and maybe record a little thing. Can we go? Can we have the sister wives room so we can record a podcast?
We could do it in a day trip or a one overnighter, depending on what we felt.
Hey, I was just looking at Ruth Chris menu because I'm curious what we're talking.
Now we're really squirreling.
You get a prefix menu. You can choose this. They have different things. But if you choose the prefix menu for $69... just per person, okay, that's not bad for expensive. You get a house salad, a Caesar salad, or lobster bisque.
Okay.
You get an entree, which can either be a filet and shrimp, or surf and turf, which is lobster tail paired with a 6-ounce filet.
Okay.
Okay, so basically, your shrimp or lobster, I guess, whichever you like. And then sides, you can have creamed spinach or garlic mashed potatoes. And then for dessert.
For dirt?
You get chef's seasonal selection. So that's $70 basically.
When we went to Fleming's, we ended up, I think, paying about $150 for the two of us.
So yeah, $70.
And we shared the sides because they could feed two people. I think we did pick two different sides, but then we shared them.
You had to buy your salads if you wanted a salad.
But here it's giving signature sides. And I remember we had this, the potatoes au gratin.
Yeah, those are really so good at Fleming's.
Yeah, the potatoes are amazing.
But they have a lobster mac and cheese. I don't feel like that was a thing back then when I was there.
Tyler wouldn't have ate it.
And then sweet potato casserole. That sounds good.
I'm new to the sweet potato world, so I don't know.
With a pecan crust.
I feel bad. So, what always gets me is I love when places
Brussels
have key lime
sprouts
pie.
With bacon honey butter. Okay, I don't know why I scrolled that. Sorry, friends. Okay. So, we're talking about, you want to talk about Mary's outfit or did I
talk about the outfit?
Okay, so the first thing I noticed as I was like, that Mary had a very interesting outfit. Her anniversary, it was fine for that time. I feel like leggings were in and these overshirts were in and all this.
Yep.
But for an anniversary outfit, it seemed
a little bit weird. At the most expensive, fancy place in Utah.
And then because she had like capri leggings on under, but it wasn't really a dress.
But
it was
I really think that was a little bit the style then.
But honestly,
I
feel like in the beginning of the show, I feel like all of their outfits were a little odd because they did the extra layer
for their modesty and their religion. I wasn't saying, I was just very casual.
Right. For where they were going.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
It was an odd
I feel like their style and stuff was kind of odd. But even their fancy clothes,
like when they wore some of the things to the wedding and whatever, I thought the styles of the dresses they picked were
everything
a little weird.
Everything is odd.
I'm just saying that
It wasn't fancy.
Like, he seemed to be more dressed up, and I'm like, why aren't
he does sales, so he wears probably a jacket.
You can't tell me you don't have just a nice black dress somewhere.
Right, yeah. Right, and that's
for your 20th anniversary. Yeah, that was your 20th anniversary outfit?
Right,
it was just weird.
Yep.
Like I said, I'm not judging the outfit.
Maybe it was some foreshadowing.
I knew it was of the style. I just think it's
of what was to come.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of
her
the
heart
end.
Wasn't in
her
it.
Her outfit was the beginning
you don't
of the
deserve
end.
A black dress, Cody.
So there's a comment that Mary makes that we have 20 plus years together, but sometimes struggle to connect sometimes. Mary feels disconnected from Cody since Robin. And this is at the dinner. They're talking about these things. And Cody does not understand how she welcomed Robin into the family, but then is having these feelings of jealousy. And the way that he's so put offish about it is disconcerting. Again, right there that he's like, because then she basically says, what if I had another guy, right?
And then he goes, that would be sickening.
Vulgarity, with another lover sickens me.
Yeah.
I wrote that quote.
Which, like, I mean, I understand that actually there is not a thing such as brother husbands, but, like, why is it so utterly disgusting to you for it to be the opposite of, like, what you're doing? It doesn't make sense to me that it is that disgusting.
He goes on to say it goes against God and nature.
Right.
So apparently God and nature believe.
We're okay with men having multiple women, but not women having multiple men. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And I mean, like, there's polygamy in the Bible, isn't there?
Old Testament. Yes.
But the thing is, though, is I was just making sure I wasn't, like, misremembering, stuff from Book of Mormon, because they like to talk about things very similarly.
Right. But I mean, you have, like, Abraham.
But the fact that they go against, like, goes against God. And like, just because it would be a woman with multiple partners, that's right. what makes it against nature. Right. And God. Like, and that right. and that he appears, he's like visibly disgusted by the comment. And I just thought that was a little interesting.
So he also says that he realizes that what he's saying could be hypocritical.
Yeah.
But he says if he addresses that emotion with her, it is acknowledging that it exists, which he feels is unfair. What?
Acknowledging hypocriticalness exists?
No, I think that he can't acknowledge the emotions in her. Like, he can't.
Oh,
he can't
comfort her and
say,
right.
"Come here, honey.
Yeah.
I know I'm only going to see you
because,
one in four."
Because then he has to like recognize that
he's causing it.
Right. With mm-hmm. being with other women. Yeah. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Which again, I don't see why you wouldn't. Like, if
I mean, I feel like it's
husband,
a normal human emotion,
yeah,
regardless of your religious belief or mm-hmm. your faith or whatever. Like, it still would be hard.
Right. And I'm sure that there would be nights that Mary was okay with it, or all the wives, but we're just using Mary as the example here. I'm sure there's nights that he comes home and, oh, we're so glad you're here. And they just have a normal evening with family and dinner and whatever they do. But there might be times, and Christina's made this comment too, sometimes he'll walk in and be like, it's date night, let's go. Because she's just feeling in such a way that she really needs some alone time.
Right.
You know, and I don't see why Cody can't, you know, if you have a wife who's particularly struggling today,
right.
let's feed that today and hopefully it's gone tomorrow. Or in 3 days when I come back. Like, why can't you say, you and me, you know, once we put the kids to bed, we're going to go snuggle and we're going to have some time together.
Putting off the problem and sticking your head in the sand, 9.9 times out of 10 is probably going to make the situation get worse.
Right. Yeah, but
it might be a progressive worse. It might not be immediately catastrophic.
I'm sorry, but for her to say that she was jealous and him to come back and say that it was vulgar against God. I mean, somebody should have just popped him on the back of his head. You know how when a teenager speaks out at dinner table and you've got to be like, you don't say that in front of your grandparents.
Right.
That's how I felt it should have happened.
Right.
Right. Or like, I mean, just...
Can you just see a producer arm come in? Boom. Knock the dumb thought out.
All of a sudden, the boom microphone accidentally falls on his head.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of goes in it. And then when they start talking about in vitro, I'm like, all of this is going so poorly. And then you bring up this.
That didn't happen, though, until their honeymoon or until their Mexico trip. So at dinner, Mary says, I'm just asking for understanding and patience.
Yeah, because I'm dealing with emotions.
He doesn't have any of that, though.
He doesn't have understanding or patience.
He says, you are not understanding what I'm saying.
And he's not trying to either.
No.
And then Cody calls her out about Robin and says, basically, you picked her and now you have bad feelings. But Cody then says, sorry, in this process, heartbreak happens. I feel deeply for you. I hope you know how important you are to me. So at least he does a little bit of affirmation at the end. You know how important you are to me. But again, where are we now?
But
again,
with this whole
how
thing,
important
though,
you are to me. Never is he saying in this,
I love you. I love you.
I care about you.
All of those
You're important to me.
Right.
But like with the way that he says, like basically you picked her and now you can't handle whatever. She's never saying that she doesn't like Robin. And it's like all of a sudden she's picked her and
none of the wives ever said that.
She is just saying that now that this has come to fruition, she's starting to have some jealousy. Which I'm sure she probably had with Janelle.
Anything.
And she had with Christine at a point. There's going to be jealousy in any of it.
Anytime anybody says anything that is in some slight way, like Robin with the word choices.
Yep, I know
that.
Exactly.
Don't say that word. They say one little thing that has any sort of question or whatever. They're like, no.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is so true. Every time somebody says, Cody, you're not paying enough attention to me, why you got to pick on Robin?
I didn't say a dang thing.
Why he's saying that? Because he knows dang good and well. And
that's
that
why.
Right. That's why it's coming
that's
up.
That's why.
It
it's because he has this conviction
because
in his body.
Yeah,
the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Okay, they go to Mexico.
All right.
It's all like kind of self-filmed video, so they did not send the camera crew to Mexico, which says to me they actually paid for this vacation themselves. I feel like if TLC paid for the vacation,
Cameras would have been there. Because I wonder if
the cameras would have been have already been prepaid.
And I wonder, or not before prepaid, or that pre-booked. Yeah, yeah. Before the
TV show.
Exactly. And again, Mary makes the comment, I told him he was doing something special for, I wasn't going to let him off the hook. Or it could have been that
TLC said, hey, and he was like, well, we can do footage of there and then, you know, get more episodes. He could have said, we'll film it with
whatever. I don't know, but I was just thinking, like, down the road with other vacations, there's definitely a whole crew that travels.
Yeah, like when
them.
They go
so
to
thought,
like the
was interesting.
Sedona.
But again, there were no cameras. Oh, I don't know. We're about to get there. I was about to say there's no cameras on Robin's honeymoon.
I don't think so.
Now here's something else that I know.
I maybe thought because I don't think she wanted the other wives to see.
We don't see a dang thing about her honeymoon.
But listen to this. We don't know how long Mexico was. I'm going to guess it was a couple of days. But nobody picks on Mary for having a 20th anniversary vacation after Truly was born. But everybody picks on Robin for having a 10-day
But you know what?
I don't
think that they will for the anniversaries because the anniversaries are already set in stone and the babies come when they come.
Sure.
And because it wasn't a full week.
But.
Right.
But know, what I think too,
days
yeah.
Or
it was a shorter amount of time. Yeah. So one makes it a little bit
Couple
easier to
nights.
Deal with. But then also, they probably, the first two wives, like understand like. The work and effort that's been put in for these last 20 years, and she deserves to have a whatever. You know what I mean?
But again,
because
I don't
want
that
for
theirs. Right, because
too.
They want that for theirs, and so they're whereas, but like, you could have picked any time to get married.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and not go on an 11-day honeymoon.
Right. If you think about the timeline from the last episode that we watched, there was Truly was a week late. And it was 8 weeks until Robin's wedding. So that means that what they were planning on was for Truly to be at least 2 months old,
right.
if not close to three, before the honeymoon. And we don't know if they immediately left on the honeymoon. I mean, it sounded like they did.
Yeah.
But anywho, but point being, a couple of days also is very different than 10 days. I mean, that is
100%.
An entire week.
Right. Almost two weeks.
Yeah. Think about it. Each wife lost two nights in their rotation.
Right.
Some of them lost three.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They were gone so long.
And
so.
Someone had a, fairly new baby.
Right, exactly.
Who and maybe again, she would have liked to have
right.
the dad spend time with during that time.
And maybe.
Right. For their 2 or 3 days.
Right. Right.
Whatever. However, whatever she was in the rotation.
Right. And guess what? If Robin was home, maybe the new wife could have helped out with that. But
right.
So anyways, Cody asks about IVF and basically Mary says no.
There was
and
a time
Cody
in her life when she was open
it.
To it. And he wasn't, I think they talked about. And now she just decided, like, she's at the point now where Mariah is older.
Yep.
She doesn't really want to start
I don't
over.
Blame
she's
her.
Older.
Yeah.
And it would be a lot. And if it wasn't something that was happening naturally on its own,
yep.
she wasn't going to push for it
yeah.
because she had had the miscarriage and stuff. And I think she still was having,
right.
like, she was, I feel like, kind of starting to come at, like come to terms with and be at peace with her situation.
Yeah, and I think
and
just as she got older and she, you know, they had just talked about Mariah going off to college and
right. It's like she
was
moving into
a
new season of her life.
Change, right?
And she didn't want to start over. And I mean, I don't blame her. At the point where,
right.
I mean, I wanted more kids than two, and well, that wasn't gonna happen. And even now, like if Tyler were to change his mind, I mean, which he won't, but if he were. I would want to do it, but then also part of me would be like, no. And my kids are nowhere near Mariah's age, and I don't even know that, I don't feel like I would want to start over either, because we're like, they both are potty trained, totally. They're both like in kindergarten, preschool. We're in this whole new zone of life. They're fairly independent, and like, they don't need me for every little thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to go back to that because I have nieces and nephews and I see, what they're still dealing with. And I was like, I'm in a good place now. And so, and I'm not even anywhere near as far out of it as Mary.
Right.
At that point.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah. There comes a certain point when then you have to decide,
waiting
yes,
for grandbabies.
Still want it. Yes. Would you still want it? And that,
yeah.
I got there too. It was at a point and I said, it was also brought to my attention.
I was a similar age to.
If we have this baby,
I was a similar age to Mariah. I think when you kind of had that conversation with Lester.
If we have baby, but I had I don't know how old Mary was when she had Mariah. She had to be in her early 20s.
Yeah.
22, 23. I was 19, so I was still...
You were younger than Mary, but I was at this about the same age but as Mariah, I think.
I was looking at it, and it came up, and we were discussing it, and it was a possibility, and we said, if we do that, he said, then...
These are the things that will change.
With you and Alex, you know, all these vacations and things that you go on...
And that we can do.
Changed. And
because we can't.
And it's true, because the money would be going to those baby things, diapers and daycare and all of those
and
things.
And it's harder, the smaller the human, the harder it is to travel with them because of the extra stuff you have to bring, the attention that they need, the different stuff you have to do. Like it's almost becomes more work than relaxation.
You know, at that point, basically I traded a baby for vacations. That's what I did.
And a dog.
Oh, I did negotiate a dog in there. I said, that's fine. But I will tell you, if we're not going to do that, then I need
something to love.
And I need something small that I can love on. Because my cats were fine, but they weren't really big, huge cuddler.
And they were outside kitties.
And so I was like, I need something.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up with Moose, is because I needed something to cuddle and take care of.
I was a freshman.
Because Alex was a teenager and she was like, psst. I mean, she was there a lot.
Whatever, I hung out with you.
You did.
I hung out with you more than a normal teenager.
Probably. But still, wasn't enough.
I understand. I got one at that age right now. Yeah. Casey says I can't get another dog either.
Meaning.
River's as big as three dogs, though. So.
Yeah.
There's no more room in the bed.
I have Chief.
I do also hear that, though, that I'm not allowed to have more dogs. And, well, sometimes it happens.
Hey, but then I talked him into Buddy. So I sent him the things and I texted him the things.
And but I had already told him that because of Four and her depression over the loss of the other two dogs that
we haven't really talked about that, but yeah. Four's doing a lot better. I know that they're becoming friends and it's becoming better.
I mean, she
Buddy
gets a little overwhelmed.
He does, and he is
like, oh my gosh, leave me alone. She gets like teenager sister.
And Buddy's just like, I just love you.
He's like the 4-year-old that's like, bah, I just want to play.
Right.
And so she gets a little overwhelmed, but she enjoys playing and doing all the things. And sometimes I'm like, just go away from him.
I actually got a video. You'll be surprised. I actually got a video yesterday morning of Jasmine and River chasing each other back and forth right here.
Oh.
Jasmine was into it. And it was funny because Jasmine has such little feet and she's so fluffy right now that she would have that like comical like cartoon moment where she's like her legs are going 100 miles an hour but she's not going anywhere because she's like she has to catch her traction and finally it was like she's winding herself it's so funny.
The corner two thing and his feet are furry so he slides on the tile and he went ooh, and then bump mashed into the piano. I'm like, oh, you got to learn to the around the corners.
You need to learn how to slide. How to drift.
Yeah. He did not drift. The Buddy drift. Buddy drift.
Yeah. So. All right, friends. Well, let's wrap up this episode. Yep. We've had a lot of squirreling time, but it's fun episodes seeing them very young and all of this. So we're going to jump in the next episode into 6 and 7 of season 1. So if you haven't watched those yet, make sure you watch them so you know exactly what we're talking about. And we'll see you on the next one. What's our tagline, Foo Friend?
Oh my God. The more you know.
The more you know.
The more you know, the less Cody knows.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where children are?
The more you know, the more Cody lies. There you go. What is it?
She's
Alex?
Messing with
I
her.
Think she's messing with our tagline. I think I wrote it down somewhere. Did I write
it down? Chaos is always
multiplied and never divided.
Bam. Always.
There we go. Okay, cool. Awesome. Woohoo! I think it's part of the entertainment now that I can't think it in my brain.
All right. Well, we'll try it again in the next episode.
Thanks.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
If your life is so chaotic you don't remember, you've been listening to the It's All Chaos podcast.
To support Tracy, Jill, or get access to any products we've discussed on the podcast, visit our websites at officiallytracytime.com,
shopjillybean.com,
or shopthechaos.com. If you've enjoyed learning about our chaos, you can always leave a positive review on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you download your podcasts.
And if you would like to tell us about your chaos, you can always email us at itsallchaospodcast@gmail.com and maybe we'll read your email on the show.
And remember, when life gets chaotic, it's okay to listen to the podcast in your closet with a Starbucks eating raw cookie dough.